The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM. We are on myjoyonline.com live in all 16 regions. Radio Max in Takrady, Dreams FM, A1 Radio in Borga, Tanga, Jubilee Radio in Keta. We're live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, brace yourselves for more power outages as Gridco confirms is unable to supply the ECG with adequate power due to gas supply challenges.
We are unable to provide the full quantum of power supply that ECG would need for demand in country. And that's just because there are these commercial issues related to the gas.
Stay for details as we explore what this means for the consumer, plus the latest from the finance minister, who says significant progress has been made to restructure debt owed independent power producers.
We are unable to provide the full...
Really gone far. We negotiated with about 6 IPPs. The first 4, Zenith, AXA, and Car Power, and Asogle. 2 of them we have signed our agreement, settled in their operation.
We have details of that also this afternoon. 15 lives lost in the latest chieftaincy clashes in Boko. We've been hearing from the Boko Nabas lawyer, who attributes this latest incident to preventable security lapses.
I have graphic images and videos of people who are being killed like animals. What I do know is that as we speak, from our information, we have currently lost a minimum of 15 people in Boko.
15?
And some are being slaughtered in Wale Wale.
Meanwhile, the Wale Wale MC says the situation is being monitored closely after the restoration of calm after yesterday's roadblock and attacks.
My district police command, together with some military who are also stationed in Wale Wale, they came, and then later on, additional men were also deployed. And there's now a calm in Wale Wale.
Also in this package, we dig in further in the latest Afrobarometer report, which reveals the Electoral Commission has become one of Ghana's least trusted public institutions, with a growing perception among Ghanaians of increased corruption within the organization.
This idea of being politics or politicized, the appointment of such a central institution in governance, has created this problem for us.
We have details as Ghanaian voters are clear on the key factors that will influence their choices in the upcoming polls. We have sports.
National Petroleum Authority claims top prize at a Joy Sports Invitational Tournament. Plus, Manchester United sack Erik ten Hag as manager.
And much later, Ghana's foreign affairs minister, Shirley Ayokobuchi, receives a star-studded welcome back home following her historic election as the first Ghanaian woman Secretary General of the Commonwealth.
It's a demonstration that, one, for me, women can do it, given the support. And that has been demonstrated.
That and more coming up in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for your company. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Let's dig in now and start off from the power front. And you need to brace yourselves for more power outages as the Ghana grid company Gridco confirms the current outages in some parts of the country is due to their inability to supply the ECG or the power needed to supply consumers. There have been erratic power supply to parts of the country, with a minority and some analysts warning Dumso may be returning. Gridco says this challenge is simply because there's no gas to power the thermal plants. Jifa Bampo is the Corporate Communications Manager at Gridco.
So currently, Gridco, as far as we are aware, as the transmission entity and as the entity that manages the national grid, we are aware of some commercial challenges with supply in reference to gas. When we say commercial challenges, it means there are agreements, payments, negotiations that need to be done with the gas suppliers. So really, that has nothing to do with that. But the challenge is, once there is a drop in supply as a result of those bottlenecks, it affects generation capacity, and then ultimately it affects transmission as well. So for us, we are unable to provide the full quantum of power supply that ECG would need for demand in country. And that's just because there are these commercial issues related to the gas companies and government. Those need to be addressed. Then if we get the full quantum of gas supply as we normally do, then we can address mission issues.
Tifa Bambo also explains the current erratic power supply has nothing to do with the decision of Sunona Sogle to shut down its plant due to ECG's indebtedness.
Usually what would happen is if Sunona Sogle was operating because they would have received a supply of gas. However, they have chosen not to operate, as I understand is their decision. That would have gone to them would just be reallocated to other suppliers who gas for their thermal plant. So it doesn't really have anything to do with the recent outages. The current situation we've all experienced, including myself, is really just because we don't have the full quantum of gas supply, indigenous gas supply in Ghana, to meet our demand needs. And that is the reason why we are seeing these challenges. As soon as government is able to address the cultural issues with the gas producers and suppliers, then we should be okay for in country. So this has nothing to do with NGAS as well. It's about our suppliers in country and their negotiations and requirements from government. That has nothing to do with Great Coal.
That's Jifa Bampo, is a corporate communications manager at Greatco there, interacting with us earlier. While the minority in parliament say the power situation will worsen this week as Greatco continues to shed load. Let me bring in a former deputy power minister and ranking member on the Energy Committee of Parliament. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. So first, how is it that we cannot seem to resolve this particular financial issue we've been talking about with ECG, and we have to consistently come back to the situation over gas and fuel?
It's most unfortunate. As we speak today.
Hello, John. It does appear that I've just lost John Jinapo there on the line. We'll work the lines once again and raise him back. Let's try again. It does appear we've just lost John Jinapo on the line. I'll work the line and bring him back, because the concern is when exactly we are hoping to resolve this financial issue and the gas supply concerns that have been raised. Thankfully, he's back on the line. So you were telling me about when exactly we are able to deal with this situation so that we can avoid this back and forth.
What we need is government to help the power companies to buy light crude oil. Because as a stand, even if the gas was supplied fully, it would not be enough. Demand has outstripped the current gas supply. Government has been buying light crude oil at a cost of about $40 million. But currently, they are unable to buy because of the financial challenges. And so for the past 1 week, there's been load shedding of about 450 megawatts every night, which is the peak period. If government is unable to find money to buy that fuel, they will continue to shed load, or what is popularly known as doom. So the main problem is fuel, and it has to do with money. If they can get the money to buy that fuel, then that will be over. That's the stance, it's not possible.
But what kind of briefing are you getting as to why government is unable to actually buy this fuel that we talk about? What briefing are you getting? Unfortunately, it looks like we have a bad connection to John Jinapo's line, but we've been hearing from the finance minister himself on this particular matter and the issue about Sunona Sogle. He interacted with my colleague earlier, and that's John Jinapo, on why the president must intervene to convince Sunona Sogle to come back on stream, even though we've been hearing from Gridco saying that that shutdown is not the reason why we're experiencing that doom. So, but finance minister Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam has been accusing the power producer of bad faith over the decision to shut down the plant. The company decided to halt operations over a $259 million debt owed by the Electricity Company of Ghana. Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam explained that government was in the process of negotiating an agreement to clear the debt when Sunona Sogle changed its stance on the payment terms, complicating the process. He's been speaking at a news conference in the USA.
I had meetings with Asogle and we agreed that we will pay, but we wanted them to sign the settlement agreement because this is one of the terms of the agreement. They said no, we should pay before they sign. But if it is part of the settlement agreement, why should I implement an agreement that has not been signed? And so we communicated this to Asogle, only for Asogle to come and say they no longer want 30 million, now they want 60 million. And if we don't pay them 60 million, they will shut down. That is why they shut down, right? And so people behave as if we as a country, we don't know our rights or we don't know what we want, especially when election is closer. everybody thinks that, look, I can put a gun on the head of Ghana. And so by going ahead to shut down, they acted in bad faith. This is not how partners work together, particularly when it involves financial negotiation. So they shut down. We continue to produce power. I was informed only yesterday that they are ready to sign the settlement agreement. And so we've instructed ECG to go ahead and sign. That should help in normalizing our relationship so we can move on.
The finance minister, however, says government has made significant progress on addressing concerns of Asogli Power and restructuring debt owed other independent power producers.
Really gone far. We negotiated with about six IPPs. The first four, Zenit, AXA, and Car Power and Asogli. Two of them we have signed the agreement, settled in their operation, but they are not required to go to Parliament for approval. Senate and AXA have signed off. We've concluded the restructuring with them. The other two, Asogli is one of them. Car Power called their guarantee, but they also called a guarantee under circumstances we did not agree to. Car Power will ask that you pay them $70 million outside the agreement, and if we didn't, they call off the guarantee. I'm not going to pay you $70 million outside that. We have to negotiate and sign before I make anything. Ghana is not just a street country. A country sitting by the roads. Now you are negotiating, you come and say, pay me this before I go ahead. That's not the way to negotiate. And so they also called the guarantee. We said, okay, no problem. There are other plants that continue to produce. They also threatened they were going to shut down after calling the guarantee. And I said, unless they reverse that action, which was an action in bad faith, there was no way we could make progress. So we are waiting for them.
That's Finance Minister Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam. Now let's head to Boko, and the Boko Naba's lawyer, Maxwell Agambila, has reported that 15 lives were lost in the latest chieftaincy clashes in Boko, attributing the violence to security lapses. He states that the recent bloodshed was sparked by the return of a rival chief, Seydou Abagri, which he claims could have been prevented with better security oversight. Joint police and military personnel have since been deployed to restore stability in the area. Up next, we'll get to hear from Agambila. But first, Wale Wale Municipal Chief Executive Arimia Osumo Lucky Basintale shares his account of the incident with Joy News.
You know, the chief that was enskinned by the overlord of Mapo, the Nairi, Tuboku, there was a court injunction on him and an arrest warrant on him. So about 2 weeks ago, a high court in Kumasi ruled in his favor. That then he was now free to move across around. So when that happened, he was now preparing to go back to where he comes from, and that is Boko. So he managed to get into Boko. Then the other tribe, the Kusasis, were also not happy. So they started some kind of problems, and then they started attacking each other. So it happened that the people who are from Boko, and they are living around the Mampuge, the northeast area, they also came in to also fight on behalf of their people over there. And that led to the blockage of the roads yesterday. But swiftly, I moved in with the Municipal Security Committee and were able to solve the problem before the close of the day.
We can now hear from lawyer of the current Boko Naba, who is disappointed with the security situation and also the events that led to this bloodshed. He's been speaking on the AM show with Benjamin Akapo.
The Boko Naba obviously is saddened by the chaos in Boko, and more so the loss of innocent lives from both sides. And we think that this is completely avoidable. This ought not to have happened. And given the situation in Boko, it is obvious that he did get some sort of security protection in order to get into Boko. It's very obvious. From our side, we are very sure that he did get some security protection.
Well, reacting to the situation on the same AM show with Benjamin Akapo, security analyst Dr. Victor Doke says that he's calling for beefed up security and swift solutions to the chieftaincy conflict in the area.
We are going to likely have a state of emergency declared in Boko because obviously the curfews aren't doing any good. And when that happens, scenario two will play out, being that once there's a state of an emergency in Boko, we're trying to get Seydou out for peace to prevail, for calm to be restored. And then what will happen going to December 7th? Are the people of Boko going to be disenfranchised because of the tensions there? If Seydou is out by then we're going to have elections in Boko. If not, then you are sure to say or conclude or project that elections in Boko may not come up because of the tensions in there.
And that in itself could lead to a further escalation there, wouldn't it?
It could lead to
if the people feel disenfranchised.
Exactly. Now you're looking at who benefits from this chaos and who doesn't. Okay? And the perception we have is the Upper East or Boko itself, the Kusasis are aligned to the NDC. Majority of them are aligned to the NDC. And the majority of the Marxists are aligned to the NPP. So technically, you would realize and come to conclusions that the NDC may not benefit if a state of emergency is declared in Boko.
That's Dr. Victor Doker with the Kofi Annan Peacekeeping Training Center. Let me bring in my colleagues in the Upper East Region and Northeast Region, Albert Sori and, of course, Ilias Tutanko, monitoring events from both sides of this particular conflict. Joins us on the line. Albert, let me start with you. Let's talk about the security situation there today.
Yes, MFA. So what we know at the moment is that there's been a high security presence in Boko starting from the last 24 hours or so. We've seen more security soldiers and more police officers arrive in the town. But one thing we notice is that the citizens, the civilians are all staying indoors. The Boko town is almost deserted. And this afternoon, we are not hearing about gunshots as was the case 2 days ago and yesterday. So there's a bit of calm now, but although the government has not yet officially declared any state of emergency, you get the sense that the people themselves are doing this. They are staying indoors for their own safety.
And Albert, we've been seeing some posters surfacing and you've been interacting with the Regional Security Council on this. What exactly is the next line of action from their side?
Yes, so the posters are on the gate of the Boko Municipal Assembly and also on their notice board. Apparently, some people forced the workers out of the building and locked it up and wrote a notice, which they pasted on several of the entrances, indicating that if this new chief is not arrested, they are going to come back and burn down the building. We do not know who did this, but that is what the people woke up this morning to see. And there is nobody at all at the assembly, so we are unable to tell how these posters came to be there or who forced the assembly workers to abandon their work today. Mm. Several other places are not open today. Many private businesses have also been locked up. On the RECSEC, we haven't been able to reach the regional minister. We tried earlier this morning. We are told that he was in a meeting and would get back to us later. So
okay,
we do not have any information from RECSEC as we speak.
Thank you very much. That's Albert Sori, my colleague, joining us from the Upper East Region. My other colleague, Ilias Tutanko, is also our Northeast Regional Correspondent. Ilias, you've been monitoring the situation on the Boko Wale Wale Road after the incident last night. What's the situation today?
So traffic is moving on the Wale Wale road. There seems to appear that no security arrangements, as we have been told by the security forces. As we speak, I have traveled on the road from Aga to Tamale, and the only security forces that I saw was a pickup vehicle that was parked under Okri in Wale Wale with three armed police in it. Also on the road around Kualugu, I saw contractors on that stretch, and I saw a pickup vehicle of the police guiding these construction workers. So this is the only security measures that we have seen. But the traffic ongoing on the road, the vehicles that were destroyed or that were then on the road have been removed, and there's smooth traffic on this particular stretch,
I should speak. Okay. That's my colleague, Ilias Tutanko, giving us updates on that situation after that roadblock last night. Now, just before we go on the break here on the midday news, let me take you live to the Kotoka International Airport, because she went, she saw, she fought, and she conquered. And today, she's back home to a star-studded welcome. Ghana's Foreign Affairs Minister, Shelley Ayokobotche, was elected Secretary General, 27th Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting held in Samoa. Well, Well, the election took place amid significant anticipation as Shelly Ayokobuchi competed against two other strong African candidates, Lesotho's former trade minister, Joshua Setipa, and Gambia's foreign minister, Mamadou Tangara. Well, today at the Kutuka International Airport, Shelly Ayokobuchi, in the company of President Akufo-Addo, were mobbed by a large crowd when they touched down. Here's Chief of Staff, Akosua Frimpong-Opare.
And it's not just putting you there. It gives you support. And he has supported her, encouraged her. And today, the world has seen how good presidents nurture and leave something solid behind. I'm excited for both for her and for the president of our republic.
And my colleague Kenneth Jesse is there at the Kutuka International Airport to welcome the first Ghanaian woman Secretary General for the Commonwealth. And he joins us on the line. Kenneth, what can you tell us? Let us in on the excitement at the Kutuka International Airport.
Well, it's been full of excitement. We've seen party supporters, big waves within the New Patriotic Party, which include the Chief of Staff, whose sound we just heard. And then this historic feat has been celebrated by people in government as well. And with being the first female to, the second female and the second African to occupy this position, Shelly Ayokobuchi says she feels some sense of pride and will do everything to make Ghana proud in her new position.
This moment is one moment that is so surreal for me. I'm still soaking in the confidence that the heads of government reposed in me over today, overwhelmingly, and the majority for me. I just thank them so much. We crossed several continents, me and my team, campaigning for votes, meeting with heads and leaders. I really would like to. I want to thank the heads of state, the heads of government who voted for me. I want to thank everybody, my family, my campaign team.
And we've been hearing from President Akufo-Addo as well, Ken.
Yes, we have. And President Akufo-Addo notably has been a foreign affairs minister before, a position which is currently being occupied by Shelly Ayokobuchi, which has landed her the new position as the Secretary General of the Commonwealth. And the president has also been expressing his sense of pride in the Commonwealth nations confiding their confidence in Shelly Ayokobuchi.
As you know, this is an association of 2.7 billion people. A third of mankind is grouped in the Commonwealth. We were the first in 1957 when we became independent. The first with a heavy organization. And it's an African, and all of us in Ghana should be glad for her and to wish her the very best of luck. Best to make sure that whatever support is a day of unrestrained joy, as far as I'm concerned. I'm very, very happy about the results. And I think Ghana, generally, and Africa, because it was virtually unanimous, her choice. The whole world should have come behind her and indicated that they value us, they valued our candidate, and they confidence our ability to deliver.
President Akufo-Addo there taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News. Live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. We are live in all 16 regions, affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions. On X Spaces on Facebook, the Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We've been talking about how we have to brace ourselves up for more power outages as GridCo confirms it's unable to supply the ECG with adequate power due to gas supply challenges. We return from the break with sport, and then we're just 40 days until the 2024 elections. The latest Afrobarometer report reveals that the Electoral Commission has become one of Ghana's least trusted public institutions, with a growing perception among Ghanaians of increased corruption within the organization. But of course, they still maintain that they will vote.
This idea of being politic or politicized, the appointment of such a central institution in governance, has created this problem for us.
When bad budgets are tight and money difficult to come by. You want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
Efia, I've been thinking, have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kajo, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of Free SHS, and now she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But Efia, still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kwaju. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
Time for sports. Mubarak.
Yes, MFA. So, National Petroleum Authority, they emerged as champions of the Joy Sports Invitational Tournament. The event supported by sponsors including the Minerals Commission, Magdan Group, The Luckiest, Skechers, Amigo Ghana, Piva Beverages, and Caveman Watches saw 29 corporate bodies competing for glory, which was ultimately claimed by NPE as they won 4 gold medals. Now to England, and Manchester United have sacked Erik ten Hag as manager. His assistant, Ruud van Nistelrooy, has been named as his replacement on an interim basis. United have won just 3 matches in the Premier League this season and currently sit 14th in the standings. MFA, good news.
Why now? It's not good news, Bia.
Well, it's long overdue, but we'll take it like that.
Yes. Well, this afternoon, the Electoral Commission has emerged as one of the least trusted public institutions. According to the latest Afrobarometer survey, the Ghanaian public increasingly views the EC as corrupt. The Ghana Police Service, meanwhile, continues to be at the top of the list of most corrupt public institutions, with the Office of the President, tax officials, MPs and judges and magistrates in tow. Kweku Asante has highlights of the report.
Among the key institutions, the Ghana Armed Forces, religious leaders, traditional leaders, and NGOs emerged as the most trusted. However, the Electoral Commission has now emerged in this report as one of the least trusted institutions, with barely 40 days to the crucial 2024 election. The Electoral Commission, which used to enjoy 59% public trust in 2012, now has only 28%. In this league of non-trusted institutions are the courts, the New Patriotic Party, MMDCEs, and the police. On corruption, meanwhile, 3/4 of Ghanaians say the overall level of corruption in the country has worsened during the past year. The list of most corrupt institutions, as is perceived by the Ghanaian populace, are the police, which sits at the top of this list, the Office of the President coming second, tax officials, MPs, judges and magistrates following, and the Electoral Commission in tow. But what will influence people's choices for president in the 2024 elections? Respondents said a candidate's honesty, his character, and campaign promises are the top issues that will affect their vote. Kweku Asante for Joy News.
So what exactly will influence the electorate's vote with just 40 days to the elections? Here's the senior research specialist with the CDD's Afrobarometer, Mavis Dawn.
There's a lot of decline, particularly among elected officials and state institutions. The good news is that we still support elections. Majority do say that the last election, that's about 60% do say the last election was free and fair, or free and fair with minor problems. Majority say that when election is held, they would look at candidates' honesty, character, campaign promises are the most leading issues.
And that's the situation. Later we'll hit the campaign trail. We know that the flag bearer of the NPP, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, is in the OT region. And of course, the NDC's presidential candidate, John Dramani Mahama, is also in Tamale as we speak, calling on religious groups and peace council to speak out. Well, my colleague Kweku Asante joins me.